Welcome to Ignite Your Confidence for women in leadership who want to speak up and stand out. I'm your host, Karen Laus. Here you'll get all of the tips and tools that you need to stand out with unshakable confidence. Let's dive into today's episode. Welcome to Always Be Ready. I am astounded at the amount of people that aren't actually ready to introduce themselves. And I say this from the perspective of working with a lot of people over the years, and how most people, and I get it, we want the luxury to prepare. We want to be able to go, okay, I've got my ducks lined up. I've got my three key points and whatever that might be. And yet the truth is, a lot of times we don't have the luxury to prepare. Now, obviously there are times when we can and when we do, but I want to speak to the big thing that most of us don't think about a lot is that we speak on our feet probably 95% of the time. Speak on our feet. I mean, think on our feet 90% of the time. So we'll just throw in there somewhere around 90%. But the reason that I want to talk about always being ready, especially with an introduction, is because it is the number one thing that above all else, we should be prepared to talk about is ourselves. And yet that seems to be the number one thing where people go, oh, I just wasn't prepared. I just wasn't ready. Well, I want you to be equipped to always be ready so that you represent yourself in a way where you can stand out with unshakable confidence. The goal here is to help you with your confidence internally as well as externally. And the nice thing is when you're prepped with a few tips that will help equip you, you're going to automatically feel more confident on the inside as well as come across as more confident on the outside. First of all, let's talk about a model for introducing yourselves. Number one, well, let me say two things. One is how you come across with that introduction, and do you sound like you know what you're talking about? I've talked about this before in other situations, but keep in mind, you want to make sure that you say your name with a period. And I know that might make some people go, what? Well, why wouldn't I? But so many times when people introduce themselves, and if you start listening for it, you're going to hear it too. We say our name with upspeak. There was, and just to be clear, I'm going to tell you what that is, as well as give you an example from a movie. First of all, upspeak is when we say a statement with a question or a comma. So it's left hanging out there and you're not sure if the person is finished or if they know what they're talking about, because that's how it comes across. So, and I have a whole episode on this, by the way, around your voice. So you can check that out in an earlier podcast. But for today, I do want to remind you of that because it's really important to say whatever your name is, in my case, Karen Laus, as opposed to Karen Laus or Karen Laus. It's amazing how these things are very subtle. I've worked with people that have upwards had to say their name 11 plus times before they actually said it with a period. So you might chuckle at that, but you might actually be surprised if you start trying it and then recording yourself and listening to it back. You might be surprised that you might have a challenge doing it too. So let's be careful about how we might judge other people and them not being able to do it. The movie reference is called The Emperor's Club. And this was Kevin Kline's character, who was a prep school teacher. And on the first day of class, he had everybody go around and say their name. So most of the students were just rattling it off, and one guy he picked on to make a point. The guy said, I'm Steve Smith. And Kevin Kline's character said, do you think you're Steve Smith or are you Steve Smith? I would ask you the same question. Are you able to say it where your name is actually put with a period? And you might laugh at me and think, why do we keep talking about this? And I am talking about it because these little subtleties add up to an impression where people are left with what they think about you. What kind of experience are you creating for people? Do they feel that you're memorable, influential, and credible, and trustworthy? All of these things wrap up in the things that we say as well as how we say it. We have to remember that these things matter. Now, the other thing that I've noticed is a lot of times people don't speak with intention. So we have to make sure that we are speaking with intention. And what I mean by that is being deliberate about the words that you're saying and how that you're saying them. Now, you don't have to be super, well, over the top, overthinking this. I'm just simply saying, keep in mind the words that you're using and how you're using them. Because if you want to be an effective communicator, you'll want to practice these things. Listen to yourself back on recordings. Watch yourself back. All of this, I can't think of a better investment of your time, because communication is the absolute number one leadership skill. And I might even venture to say the number one skill in the world for being influential and getting your message out. Okay, let's talk about how to introduce yourself. There is a model I like to use called PPU. And if you by chance are on Clubhouse, you may have heard me talk about this before. It's saying something personal, professional, and then unique about you. And the first thing is, let's model this. I'll model this for you. Personally, I might actually say that word, by the way. You could prompt yourself by saying these three words. Make it easy on yourself. Why make it harder than it needs to be? And this doesn't need to be more than a minute. In fact, I would highly recommend that you keep your intro to less than a minute, because that's going to help you leave your audience wanting more. And you will also prevent them from, let's say, tuning out if you talk too long or start rambling, which I can also identify with because I am a recovering rambler. But first of all, let's talk about this, how to do it. Personally, I'm originally from Minneapolis, but now I live in San Francisco. Oh, I forgot to tell you my name. My name is Karen Laus. I know it is. I'm not wondering. So if I were to, let me do a whole do over here, but just so that it's all fluid, okay? Hi, my name is Karen Laus. I'm originally from Minneapolis, but now I live in San Francisco. Professionally, I coach women, typically over 40, in the corporate world to overcome self-doubt and speak with confidence and clarity. Something unique about me is that I've always loved to live in Manhattan, or wanted to live in Manhattan. So for my 50th birthday month, I spent the entire month renting an apartment there and doing my best to live like a local. So I love a sense of adventure, and that's what that means to me. So that might be one example. You could literally prompt yourself and say, personally, I'm this, usually where you're from. Professionally, what you do in a short, succinct way, who you do it for and what you do it for. Notice I talked about how I take people from here to here. And most people that are listening to you are interested in the transformation that you help people with. Now, the other thing that I do is keynote speaking. Now, what do you do if you have more than one thing? Well, first of all, I would keep in mind the power of focus. Know your audience and determine, do I really need to say two or more things that I do? Or is it better just to keep it focused, quick hit, get them almost like get them teased with what you're saying or enticing them to want to hear more, and then land the plane? That's up to you to decide. But the most important thing is to be succinct in whatever you choose to say. One other option about introducing yourself could be three hats. There are three hats that I wear in my business. Number one, I'm a communication expert in how people come across and help them speak with clarity. Number two, I do keynote speaking, specifically on seven ways women give away their power and how to take it back. And three, I actually work with teams and facilitate offsites. So if that's any of those are of interest to you, I would love to talk with you more. So it could be something like that. You've got those three hats or three buckets, whatever you might want to talk about. But definitely this rule of three is so important. It's so important because most of the time people aren't going to remember more than three things anyway. And when you say the rule of three, well, not that you would say the rule of three, but you just simply say these three things, that in and of itself gives your audience structure. And we as audiences need structure. We're craving it because it helps us compartmentalize, or rather put things in a way that's palatable for us and relevant as well. The other thing is it helps you stay focused. So that rule of three is a wonderful go-to in any situation at all. Let's talk about always being ready. So that was always being ready for your introduction. Let's talk about always be ready to speak in a meeting. Sometimes, as with a lot of the women that I work with, we hold back from sharing our ideas due to self-doubt or fear, or we don't want to disappoint somebody if we say something that's unpopular, or whatever the reason. It could just be our own judgment of ourselves. There's a plethora of reasons, but the point is for you to be equipped around these things. So always being ready to speak at a meeting, number one, means being prepared. What is the purpose of that meeting? What is actually going to be happening in that meeting? And what role do you play related to that? When you join a meeting, let's say you're not leading it, you're there, you're listening, look for opportunities to interject. When somebody pauses is a really good place to interject. And a way to interject, by the way, is a couple of ideas. Number one, it could simply be, excuse me, and then you say whatever you want to say. A lot of the times, though, we don't even need excuse me. It could simply be, I'd like to add da 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 da. Or here's what I'd like to add. Any one of those. Here's my vote is one that I really like a lot. And I use that a fair amount of the time. You could also say, here's what I think. And then you say what you think. But sometimes if we just have that small sentence prompt, that's enough to have it at the ready so that when we're ready to interject, we have that at the ready. So I would recommend that you come up with one or two things for yourself that resonates for you, that you feel like would relate to what you, your personality or whatever, but makes you feel comfortable. I think that's what I'm trying to say there. Shouldn't say I think, right? I'm always talking to people about don't say I think, just say it. You don't need to say I think, but that's me catching myself in the moment. This is where speaking with intention is a blessing most of the time and sometimes a curse because we hear everything that comes out of our mouths and how we want to edit ourselves. But self-awareness is definitely the first step to change. And I think change is a great thing. So go for it. Okay, so that's one way to interject at a meeting. Being prepared and then some of those exact sentence prompts to get you in there. Another tip related to this is something called an acknowledgement bridge, or some people call it an empathy bridge, which is where you wait for someone, you have somebody speaking, you want to interject, you wait for them to pause, or you wait for something that they said that you could empathize with or acknowledge, and then take it from there and lead it to where you want it to go, or simply share your opinion. Rather than abruptly sharing your opinion, you want to make a connection because connecting the dots is a beautiful skill. And it's also a way to make people feel heard and simply acknowledged and obviously empathized with. And that's why it's called an empathy or acknowledgement bridge. But those are some ways to interject at a meeting. The third thing around always being ready is be ready with pushback. There are times when I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir. Plenty of you have had this situation where somebody pushes back and maybe you found yourself stuck or you're thinking, oh, if only I knew what to say when this happens. And when I say pushback, let's assume it's somebody either intentionally or unintentionally being difficult or even hostile. Hopefully most of us don't deal with hostile situations in the work world. But just to define the difference, difficult audiences are simply maybe highly inquisitive. They don't mean to be frustrating or difficult. They just happen to come across that way. Maybe they are super interested and inquisitive, so they'll keep asking you questions and maybe you get kind of frustrated because they don't shut up and they just keep going. Or they simply have a lot to say and they keep contributing and you're thinking, oh, I got to get this person to stop talking. How do I do it? So let's talk about that. And then first differentiate though, between difficult and hostile. Hostile audience members are those people who you will never win over. They truly have their own agenda. They are not interested in yours. And if you try to appease them or win them over, you are wasting your time. Now, obviously, you need to be polite and all of that, but you definitely need to recognize the reality that hostile audiences are generally not going to be changed or won over, certainly even to your point of view, but more importantly, you don't want them to ruin everybody else's experience. So it's a matter of how do you control them. So first, let's talk about how to be ready related to those difficult audiences. So let's say somebody asks a question and says, well, I disagree with that. Or that would be a more hostile audience. Let's say somebody who truly says, hey, can you help me understand this? And maybe they've asked it three different ways and you're just trying to get them to stop talking at this point. Using that acknowledgement bridge is really, really key. But by the third time, it could be something like this. Hey, so-and-so, your passion around this topic is amazing. I love your interest in this. And at this point, I've done my best to answer those to the best of my ability. And due to time, we're going to have to move on. So that could be, time is always a sort of easy default to move away from. But let's just say, because I said that was almost the third time, but let's say it was simply the first time and they were asking a question that was diving deeper maybe into the numbers or into a concept. And you were feeling like, oh gosh, this person is getting way in the weeds and we're not here for this meeting to be in the weeds. So it could even be something like this. Hey, so-and-so, let me back up for a second. There is a time and a place, a little aside, to say someone's name and a time when not to say it. If you say their name, I think it's great to include them and say their name regularly in general, but the time when you don't want to say a person's name is when you are trying to avoid them you're trying to get them to talk less, okay? But as soon as we open up the floor with someone's name, they almost feel like, ooh, this is about me. And that may cause them to talk more. Something to keep in mind, potentially that could happen if you say their name. Now, judgment call, situation in the moment, you get to decide, or you can also decide after the fact, oh, maybe because I said their name, that's why they kept interjecting. But it might be something where you do some acknowledgement and then move it to your point of view or the lead of your story or the thing you want to move to next. So it could be, for example, it could even be, depending upon the situation, thanks for your interest in all of the details. This meeting specifically was designed to just give an overall picture. So let's set up another time to talk through the details, or we have another meeting set up for that if you'd like to join us at that meeting. So there could be a way to acknowledge them. Now, if you don't want to have a meeting with them offline or you don't want to continue the conversation, then it could simply be something like this. Wow, I am grateful for all the input that you're giving here and all of the, well, it's I'm editing myself now, folks, because I don't know that I would say I was grateful if I really wasn't grateful. But so we want to be honest as well for the most part. So a simple acknowledgement, I would probably go more toward what I said earlier. Hey, the fact that you're interested in all this detail is awesome because most people just want the big picture. And that's in fact, the purpose of our meeting today is focus on the big picture. Did you have any questions about that? Or is it okay with you if we move on? So that could be a way to do it. Now you also have to decide, do you want to say, is it okay with you if we move on? Or to just say, for the sake of time now, we're going to move on. Or you just simply say, we're going to move on now to the next thing. Those are a couple of tips for a difficult audience member. Now, always being ready for that hostile audience member, the one you're never going to win over. I find the best way to diffuse a hostile person in some ways is to agree with him or her. Now, let me explain. Let's say somebody says, oh my gosh, I completely disagree with these numbers and I don't know how you're ever going to make this happen. This is ridiculous. I want to find some nugget of truth in that and to say, I agree with you. When there is so much detail and we get so far into the weeds, it can be ridiculous. For the sake of this meeting, here is our focus. So I'm going to move us along just to make sure that we get everything done in the amount of time. So you notice it's similar to the difficult audience member, but a little bit different. Now, those are just a couple of examples. You've got to determine for yourself what's happening in the moment, what's going on around you. And therefore, I'm going to give you a couple of other bonus tips here, which are number one, well, first of all, two questions that you can ask yourself when you are faced with a situation where it does feel like it might be a little bit challenging. Number one, what's needed here? Number two, what's required of me? Because oftentimes when we are dealing with a challenging situation, the first thing we think about is ourselves. Oh my gosh, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to deal with this? And then we get stuck in our own head. But when you can think about what's needed here, that helps take it out of your head and into the lens of your listener. What does your audience need right now? And then what is required of me? Those two questions have helped me immensely. And I owe my friends Val and Doug Richardson an incredible amount of gratitude for them teaching me that at a marriage retreat a number of years ago. So those are some tips on always being ready. Always be ready with your introduction. Always be ready to speak in a meeting. And always be ready for that challenging audience member. But if you employ some of these tips, you're equipped with even just one or two of them, it will help you speak with more confidence and certainly stand out with that unshakable confidence that we all want to have. So thank you so much for listening in to today's episode, and I look forward to seeing you at the next one. And that's a wrap of another episode of Ignite Your Confidence. I'm your host, Karen Laus. Thank you so much for listening. If you love today's episode, please subscribe and leave a review. It helps other people find the podcast faster, and it certainly helps me. If you're interested in more tips and tools around confidence, please join me over in my Facebook group called Ignite Your Confidence with Karen Laus. Remember, you too can stand out with unshakable confidence.